begin the current daf Masechtas Chulin of Kof Lama Dal. Begin on the bottom line of Kof Lama Gimel Lama Beis, where the Gemara continues to explain the halach of our Mishnah, which we're speaking about the topic of our Perek regarding the Matnas Kuna of the Zeroyim, the Lchayim, the Keva, the jaw, the maw, and the foreleg, the forearm, which are given from a regular Chulin animal that's slaughtered to the Kayim. So the Mishnah described regarding the Kahanim and the Kechavim, they're exempt, and also someone who partners with them. Now, a related case the Mishnah spoke about was Vim Amar Loi, if the Kohen said to the Yisrael, he was selling the animal to a non-Kohen. But he told them, Chutz min Matanis, I'm selling you the animal besides for the Kahana gifts, which anyways go to the Kohen, so that I'm going to hold on to. So the Mishnah said, Pata min Matanis. So then the Yisrael who's buying the animal is exempt from giving those Kahana gifts to Kahanim. That's not something that he gives away to anyone else. Now, that as the Gemara, as we continue on top of Kof Lama Dal Madal, above Riminu, but it seems to be a contradiction from the following Braisa. The Braisa is discussed in the same type of a case where Kain is selling an animal to a Yisrael, and he tells him, Amanas Shamatana Shali, on the condition that the gifts are mine. Sounds like the same type of a case where he's selling him everything besides Matanas. Anyways, I'm a Kain, so I'll hold on to that. Says the Braisa, Naisen, then the Yisrael who bought the animal, he gives it L'chol Kain Shiyirza to whichever Kain he wants to. Why? Because since he essentially sold the whole animal to the Yisrael, the Brice is saying the Kohen seller cannot stipulate on gifts which are not his, because the Brice is saying that it doesn't belong to the consumer to not give it to the Kohanim. It belongs to the Kohanim. And even the consumer who buys it, he doesn't own the Matnas Kohuna. It's just he has Taibas Anna. Whoever owns it gets to decide who it goes to, but it doesn't own it. So therefore he can't stipulate that it shouldn't go to the Kohen who it's owed to. And therefore he could decide whichever Kohen he wants to give it to. He doesn't have to give it to the seller, the Kohen that's holding on to it. But one thing we see, yeah, he could decide, but it has the obligation of the Matanas. And the Yisrael has to give it. So we see that contradicts the halacha of the Mishnah, which said that he's not Chayav Matanas, and that the Kohen owner gets to hold on to it. Says the Gemara, Amanas Achutz Karamas? Are you posing a contradiction on that, on condition, and in regards to the wording of except? Chutz, in our Mishnah, we used the wording that he said, I'm selling you the whole animal except for the Matanas. That's Shiura. That's a terminology of retaining, where he's retaining the gift and that's not in the sale. So therefore, the consumer is exempt because the Kohen's holding on to it. And therefore, the halacha of our Mishnah was specifically regarding a Kohen who's selling to Yisrael, because in the equivalent case of a Yisrael is selling to Yisrael, and he says, oh, I'm selling it to you except for the Matnas Kuna, then actually the consumer would actually be obligated, because hence he's the one that's slaughtering, as we explained in the previous daf, the obligation of the giving of the gift is incumbent upon the one who's doing the slaughtering. And the seller cannot stipulate except, because he's selling the whole animal and that he doesn't have any rights to. Amanas, but the case of the Braisa wasn't except. It was, I'm selling you everything, but on the condition that I get the Matanas, well, that's Lav Shiyuru, that's not a retaining, that's a condition. So if he's selling him everything, but on the condition that he gets it, well, that he doesn't have the rights to make that stipulation, because how could he stipulate, oh, you have to give it to me? The consumer doesn't have the Matanas, does it? It's not his, it's the Kohen's. He just gets to decide which Kohen gets it, and therefore it's not a contradiction. But the Gemara asks, but Reminu, but there's a contradiction from a different Braisa on this last Braisa. Because this next Braisa is also the same type of a case of Almanas, Shamatan Shali, a Kohen sells to Yisrael on the condition that, okay, I'll sell you the animal, but I'm a Kohen anyways, condition that I get those kind of gifts. I want the jaw, I want the stomach. And says the Braisa, Hamatan Shali, the gifts are his. He gets to hold on to it. Well, that contradicts the previous Braisa, which says that, no, the Yisrael could decide whichever one he wants to give it to, and that he does have a Chiv Matanas. Says the Gemara, Bahal Pligi. You're right. It's on this concept that we just mentioned before that that's what they disagree on. Marsa, by the time of the second Braisa, held Amanah Shiruhu. On condition is also a stipulation of retaining. Although he's using the word Amanas, but essentially saying, I'm not selling you that. Oh, then that's like the Halacha of the Mishnah, where then there's no Chiv Matanas and the Kohen gets to hold on to it. Marsav Amanas Lav Shiur, by the time of the first price, it was, no, that's not retaining. He's selling him everything on condition that then you give it to me. That he doesn't have the right to stipulate, and therefore it's Lechol Kohen Shiurza, and it's not the Kohen seller that he gets to keep it. Now, the Mishnah said a different, similar case. Amar Loi, let's say a regular Yisrael tells a butcher, Mochali B'nei Me'eha V'chulu, sell me the innards of the animal. Now, in the innards has one of the Matnas Kuna, the Keva, which is one of the four stomachs. So then the Mishnah says, okay, he has to give it to the Kohen, and he doesn't get compensated from the seller because he knew that one of the innards that he's paying for goes to the kohen. But if let's say he waited, and there he was paying by weight, well then that's, how could he pay for the matnas kohen of the keva? Then that's the responsibility of the butcher. But the way the Mishnah says it, v'chulu, is that the buyer has to give it to the kohen, and then he gets compensated from the butcher who made him pay for something that he wasn't getting, that the butcher really was charging him for. Now, Amar Rav. So Rav qualifies and he says, Loishan, we didn't learn that where the buyer bought it from the butcher by weight, where then the Mishnah said then, okay, but he has the keva, so he has to give it to the kohen, and then he goes and claims what is owed by him from the butcher who charged him for that, which shouldn't have charged him for that. Says Rav, we didn't learn that halacha elisha shakal, only if the consumer himself, he took that piece, the innards, la'atzmai, for himself, then, since the butcher never touched it, so he's not the defendant of the kain. That's why the Mishnah said the consumer has to give it to the kain, because he's the one that took the matnas kunah himself. And then he goes and gets his money, which is owed to him by the butcher, because the butcher should have given it to the kain, and he charged the consumer for it. So then the consumer has to go back to the butcher and get his money back. Avol, but says Rav, if let's say shakali tavach, let's say it's the butcher who took it, and he's the one who gave it to the lekech, to the consumer, and the consumer didn't take it by himself, then hadin, then the litigation of the kain and his dispute and his claim is even im hatavach, is also with the butcher. And he goes to the butcher and says, hey, where's my matnas kohunah? And the butcher then has to go and search for it and find it. And if it's still around by the consumer, then he has to go out and get it from the consumer, compensate him, and give it to the kain. But as the Gemara in Baba Kama, Daf Kuftez Vav Medalf, explains this halacha, that what was being said was that the claim of the kain is even with the butcher. I mean, he can go to the consumer, but he could even go to the butcher, because the butcher is the one that gave it to the consumer, and therefore his claim could even be with the butcher. Now, Rav Asayim, he disagrees. He says, no, afila shokolei tavach, he says, even if it was the butcher who gave it to the consumer, hadin, the claim of the kain and his litigation, is imai, is with the consumer. Because since the stolen piece, the keva, is still around, so wherever it is, that's where the kain goes. And since it's by the consumer, he goes to the consumer, he doesn't go to the butcher. Says the Gemara, Leimim b'd Rav Chizda k'miflgi. Let's say that their dispute is in regards to the halacha of Rav Chizda. Because Amar Rav Chizda, he said the following halacha. He said, Gazul v'loy nisyashu habayim. Someone stole something, and the owners didn't give up hope yet of getting it back. U'bo'ach v'achloy, and then someone else came and ate it from the thief. So there's three people. Reuben got stolen from, Shimon is the one who stole it, and Levi ate it from Shimon. Says Rav Chizda, Ratza mizegayva, if the victim, wants to, he could collect from the one who stole from him, and Ratzim is Egev, and if he wants, he could collect from the guy who ate it from the guy who stole from him. Why? Because since the last guy who ended up eating it, ate it before the original guy was Meyash, before he gave up hope, so essentially, he is like stealing it from the original victim. Because as long as the original owner wasn't Meyash, didn't give up hope yet, it's still considered in the ownership of the original person, wherever it is. So although it's in the possession of the thief, as now when he's damaging it, he's eating it, it's really from the original owner. So he could collect from the thief who took it from him, or from the guy who ended up eating it. Says the Gemara, that seems to be their machlekes. Demar, because Rav, who said that you could go either to the butcher or to the consumer, is like Rav Chizda, he holds like Rav Chizda. So that's Ratz Mizegav. The butcher is the one that stole it, and then the consumer is the one who ended up getting it. You go to whichever one you want to. Umar, less like Rav Chizda, but Rav said, no, not like Rav Chizda, and that you could only go to one of them and not the two of them. Says the Gemara, Loi, no. Really, the truth is that, in general, regarding a thief, that when the thief acquires the theft with his act of stealing, that then he has to compensate the victim. The Kuliyama Isla Rav Chizda, everyone would agree to the Lach of Rav Chizda that if the victim wants to, he could go ahead and litigate not just with the one who has it now, he could also go to the first one who had stolen from him. But Vahach, over here in our case, B'matnes kuhunin exalus kemifligi, their machlekes is there a halachic element of theft regarding the matnes kuhuna? As the Gemara explains, the Mar Sava Rav held that the matnes kuhuna are exalus. They could be, quote, stolen, and therefore the butcher is obligated in his act of theft, which he's the one that took it and gave it to the consumer, to compensate. It has a halachic status as if it was stolen. So therefore, you can go to him, or you can go to the second party, like Rav Chizda's halacha. But Amar Savar, although he generally holds like Rav Chizda, but Rav Asi held, ain't exalis. There's no, it's not like it's stolen. There's no strength for the goslin. because as long as the matnas kunah are still extant, they're still around, so wherever they are, the obligation is whoever has it, they give it to the kohen. So the first one, the butcher, didn't steal it. He just gave it, he just passed it along, but it's still around. And wherever it's around, it's the obligation. Therefore, he said you could only collect it from the second person and from the ketumah and not from the butcher. And actually, that those who teach this machlik is Rav and Rav Asi independently, not as a loishanu in qualifying the halacha of a mishnah as we mentioned previously. Rav Amar, in general, Rav says, matnas kahuna nigzalis. Kahanah gifts could be stolen, like we said before, that if the kohen wants, he could litigate not just with the second person, but the first person too, because you're the one who stole it. Whereas Rav Asi, he says, no, matnas kahuna and nigzalis, not stolen. So the butcher didn't do anything to litigate with him, he just passed it along to the consumer. So then, like he said, you go only to the consumer and not to the butcher. Now the Gemara continues the next mishnah, continuing on the theme of our parak regarding the matnas kahuna, the kahanah gifts of a regular chulin animal. Says the Mishnah, Gershon is Geir, a convert who converted, meaning he was a non-Jew and became a Jew, and they had a cow. So Nishchata Achlein is Geir, if he had slaughtered it before he became a convert, so Pater is exempt from Matnas Kahuna because he wasn't Am, which is the Chiv is only from the people, when it was slaughtered, which at the time of the obligation, he was not Jewish, so therefore he's exempt. Mishnah is Geir, if he only slaughtered after he converted, so the Chayv was like a regular Jew and therefore obligated. Suffolk, if we're not sure when the animal was slaughtered, if he was already Jewish or not, so then these potter is exempt. Why? Because the one who wants to extract from his friend, the kohen who wants to get his matnas kuna from the ger, he has to prove that there was an obligation, and until that's proven, he doesn't have to give the matnas kuna to the kohen. Now, on this halacha, the Mishnah, Kiyas Rav Dimi Amar, he said that Rami Le Reb Shimon ben Lakish Rabbi Yechonon. Shimon Lakish asked the following contradiction to Rabbi Yechonon. On the one hand, it's not we learned in our Mishnah that said Safik Pater. Regarding this halacha of the matnas kuna of the ger, where we're in doubt, we said he's exempt. So Amma, so you see from our Mishnah that Sveika, when there's a doubt regarding matnas kahuna, Lukula, we go leniently that we say, until it's proven, you don't have to give it. On the other hand, Reminu, but there seems to be a contradiction with the Mishnah Masechtas Peya. Mishnah says the following halacha, Chayri Hanamolim, regarding the ant holes, Shabatecha Kama, that's in a field of standing grain, which is still, it's standing grain, meaning it was not yet reaped by the reapers, and because they didn't reach yet over there. And there are ant holes over there in the field. So, says the Mishnah, Hare Elu, so whatever is found over there in those ant holes, Shabal Abayis, that grain belongs to the landowner, because it doesn't yet have halacha of leket, which are those grains that fall during the reaping, because that's only during the reaping. Here, this wasn't reaped yet. So, it belongs to the landowner. B'shalacha Kaitzim, but if that which is after it was reaped already, so then that depends. Helyainim, the wheat that's in the upper part of the ant holes, which is on the top, you could say that what is that grain there from? It's the leket, it's those grains that fell during the time of the reaping, which that's matnas anim, that's obligated to give to the paupers, so then latnim, that will go to the paupers. But vatachtainim, the grain that's all the way in the bottom of those ant holes, shal balabais, that goes to the landowners, because that we assume that that was there for a while already before it was even reaped, and the ants had just taken it off from the standing grain and put it there in those ant holes, and therefore it's the landowners, it wasn't leket, and therefore he could keep it. Remeir, I mean, he disagrees, he says, no, hakol anim, all of those grains go to the paupers, shesafek leket, leket, because when you have a doubt regarding if this is leket, which are those grains that fell during the reaping, even though maybe it's the landowners, but maybe it's the paupers, so then it's going to go to the paupers. So you see that according to Remeir, by matnas anim, by the gifts of that have to be given to the paupers, that and the same thing seemingly would apply to the matnas kahuna, is that the doubt, you go stringently. Because even though, like the Tanakhama says, we could assume that it's from the Baal HaBayis, no, but there's a doubt, you go stringently. Now, the thing is, what Stam Masnitin, an anonymous Mishnah generally, is Remeir. And our Mishnah, which is Stam Masnitin, says that the doubt regarding the matnas kahuna is leniently, that you don't have to give it. So that seems to be a contradiction. So Malis Rabbi Yechon said to him, Shem Malakish, he says, Atak Niteni, don't provoke me. Because this Mishnah that you just brought in Masechtas Peya that says Suffolk leket leket, that when you have a doubt in the opinion of Remeir, you'll go stringently, that's what's called a das yachid. It's not a general opinion, it's a singular opinion. As Rabbi Yechon tells him, Shabaloshin yachid anishayna oisa. I learned that Mishnah Masechtas Peya that it's an individual's opinion. That you had said it, that that's Divrei Remeir, like as if that's the opinion. But I learned that that's the words of Rabbi Yehuda ben Agra, the name of Remeir. And the Das Yachid, we don't have to paskin like. The Tanakh learned the Braisa, that it's not just Reb Meir, it was Reb Yehuda ben Agra Oymer Mishum Reb Meir, it was his version of Reb Meir. He said, Savak Leket Leket, when you have a doubt regarding Leket, you have to go stringently as Leket. Savak Shikha Shikha, if you have a doubt regarding if this is a bundle that's forgotten, you have to consider a Shikha. Savak Pei Pei, you have a doubt if this was the corner of the field or not, you have to give it as the halacha of the corner of the field. And therefore, we don't paskin like that. Yeah, regular non-Mishnah, we would, and therefore it's not a contradiction that, yeah, Reb Meir, we say, holds that it goes leniently, that's only a Das Yachin Reb Meir. However, on that Amalai, so that Rish Lakish said to him, okay, Al Tishano Eise Ela B'Loshen Ben Tadl. He says, even if you're going to teach that Mishnah Masechtas Peyim, in the name of someone that's mentally retarded in the world, who his name is Ben Tadl, so I don't care that you're saying that it's a Das Yachid. Even so, it would be difficult. Because of a time of comer, he's saying logic, he's saying something logical for his opinion. Because the Amr B'Shin Malakish, he says, Maidach Sev, he explains, what do I mean the Pasuk at Tehillim? That says, Ani V'Rash Hatzdiku, the pauper and the impoverished you should favor. So the question is, Maid Hatzdiku, what does it mean that you should favor him? Ilem Abedinim, if you think to say that it means to say that you should merit him in this judgment in a court case, but you can't say that, but the Pasuk says in Shemais, Vidal Loi said the Berivoi, the pauper don't favor him in his dispute. So what does it mean, Hatzdiku? Ella rather says, Rish Lakish, it's Tzadik Mil Shalcha. Favor him from your own stuff, Atenla, and give it to him, which is when you have a doubt regarding his matnasanim, you have to favor him and give it to him. So what are you answering me saying, oh, it's not difficult because of Das Yachid? It is difficult because you're saying Reb Meir in our Mishnah says you go Lekula, but the logic of that Mishnah Masechta is paying, no matter who's saying it, is logical to say you go Lechomer as the interpretation of this Pasuk in Tehillim. Adam Ravi says, no, it's not difficult. Because Hacha Parah, in our Mishnah, the case is talking about regarding a cow, that when the doubt was regarding its matanis of the Zerei L'chaim, the keva, so when you have a doubt, there's a halacha called chazaka, which is we go based on the presumptive state that the thing was up until now. Now, if you're going to do that, up until now, b'cheskes peturah kaima, it had a chazaka, it had a default position that it's actually exempt, because the presumptive state it was up until now was he was a non-Jew. Then he converted, but that's the suffix. So the chazaka tells us that he's exempt. In contrast, kama, this that you bring from the Mishnah Masechtas Peah regarding standing grain, when you have a doubt regarding the halacha if it's leket or not, so if you're going to go ahead and establish it based on its chazaka, becheskes chiyuv kaima. Its chazaka is telling us that it is obligated because, in general, that's what a kama, a standing grain, is standing, since it's a Jew's field, that then it has an obligation of leket, and therefore that makes sense that suffik leket would be leket, and it's not a contradiction in our Mishnah regarding the suffik, regarding the matanis of the halacha of the ger, where its chazaka tells us that he's potter. However, on that, Omalei Abai, he asked, but varei isa, but take the case of the halacha regarding a dough, which the Mishnah Masechtas Challah talks about, that the obligation of challah is that it goes based on when the flour is made into dough, when it's turned into an isa. When you made it, rolled it together, and you made it into dough, that's when the obligation of challah happens, that you have to give it to the kohen, a part of that. Now, when that making into dough is done by a non-Jew, that's exempt from challah, like the pasuk says, b'min b'tesvav, it says, arisay seichem, your dough, which excludes the dough of a non-Jew. Now, regarding that halacha, says the Mishnah Masechtas Challah, nasis actually in this guy, so if the dough is made by someone who converted, but it was made before he converted, so then patim l'challah, it's exempt from the obligation of challah. Mishnah's Geir, if it was made into a dough after he had already converted, so then Chayiv is like a regular Jew, is obligated. Suffolk, if we're in doubt, which this case is like the case of our Mishnah, because there's a Cheskes Potter, because he was a non-Jew up until we know that he was. So therefore, based on the premise that you said in the Mishnah, we should go leniently and say he's Potter, and yet still that Mishnah says Chayiv is obligated, so that refutes the logic for the answer you just gave before. On that Amalei, and that he said to him, no, it's actually not difficult. Because they're still different. Challah, that halacha, that Mishnah, is suffik isur. It's a doubt regarding prohibitory law, which there's a penalty of death if one were to go ahead and violate that halacha of challah. So that's why luchom, that's why it goes stringently. That's why you're right. Although there's a chazaka, like we said in our Mishnah, because up until now we know he was non-Jew, but we're not going to go based on the chazaka because you have a suffik isura. But regarding the matnas kun of our Mishnah, there is no sanctity. It's not prohibitory law. It's regarding a judgment of suffik isura. It's of suffik b'mayna. It's a doubt regarding monetary law. Monetary law. That's what we say. Hamitzimecha b'labraya. And therefore, we'll go lekula. That's what we'll go leniently. And as the Gemara says, Dam Rav Chizda, like Rav Chizda said, that, and the Chen Tanya B'chiyah taught, the B'chiyah taught in the Braisa, that we find this differentiation regarding this doubt of a year, regarding the halacha of our Mishnah of Nematnas Kuna that will go linearly, and regarding the halacha of the Mishnah Masech Taschal, that will go stringently. That he said, Shemayna Sveik is never begir. There were eight halachas of doubt that we said regarding a person that converted, which Arba L'chiyev, four will go obligatory, and for Arba L'pitur, and four will go that will exempt it. What are the four cases of obligation? So Karban Ishtar, the Karban of his wife, which is, his wife gave birth. Now, they're not sure, did she give birth when she was still non-Jewish, or did she give birth when she had already converted? So halacha is, she has to bring a Karban. Why? Because that's a doubt regarding a penalty of Karis, if she would eat Kachim before she has the atonement, which is obligatory of a Yeled, this woman gave birth. Because a Mechusik Kippurim, someone's lacking atonement, which is what a woman who gave birth is prohibited to eat Kachim, and if they do, they get a punishment of Karis. So that's a Safik Isser, which would go Luchumra. So to Vechala, which we said, like it's a doubt regarding that there's a penalty of death, we go stringently, that like the Mishnah Masech Tzchal. U'Bechor Behem Tzimeya, and the firstborn animal of a non-kosher animal, which that refers to Petach Hamor, the firstborn of the donkey, as the Gemara says in Mecharis of Tesma Bay, is that is forbidden to have benefit until it's redeemed. And what has to be done is that you separate a sheep as a redemption for that firstborn donkey, which that excludes that prohibition on that firstborn donkey. Then, actually, what the Ger could do is he could hold on to the sheep, and that's actually his. Because the sheep of redemption doesn't have any physical sanctity. It's just, it's money belonging to the Kayin, but since this is a situation of doubt, so then, yeah, we would say on that sheep, which is the redemption, but the firstborn donkey itself, until you redeem it, that we go luchumra, because that's the suffix of Isser. And u'b'chayr behemet ta'ira, then you have the firstborn of the kosher animal, which is of a seh, of a sheep, which that's also a suffix karis, if one were to slaughter it outside, because that's a carbon, which is forbidden to be slaughtered, shchutei chutz. So then there, you have to go stringently, which in practice, what happens is that he waits until it develops a blemish, then it only has monetary law, and then he can eat it in its blemished state, again, because then would be Safek Mammon, which is Hamitzah Mechaber L'Baraya. But those are four that, regarding the Safek of Geris, we go L'Chiv in an obligation. As we continue on Amud Beis, however, regarding the next four, there's no prohibitory law regarding it, it's just monetary, and therefore, yes, that's the doubt, like in one of the cases, that of our Mishnah, which we go leniently, which is Reishis Ageiz, which is the shearings of the wool, no sanctity, but it's one of the Matnas Kuhuna, where if there's a doubt, was it when he was non-Jewish or Ger, you could go leniently. V'hamatonis, and this is the halacha of our Mishnah, which we said, yes, we're going to go leniently, because it's only a monetary doubt. U'pidin Ben, regarding the redemption of the firstborn son, was he Jewish or not? So regarding if there's a halacha pinya ben, you go leniently. And finally, opinion petach amar regarding the redemption of the firstborn of the donkey, which as we explained before, what happens is that you separate a sheep because of that prohibitory law, but then that sheep the ger could keep for himself because that's only monetary law, which these four are liptur, are as an exemption. And therefore, that resolves the two difficulties from this two different mishnayos, that it's not difficult in halacha of a mishnah, that yes, we're going to go lekula. Now, Kiyasa Ravin, when Ravin came, he actually said, Kama Ramile. That actually, Rish Lakish had asked Rabbi Yechanan, actually, not from a different source of halacha, but both of them were regarding the halacha of standing grain, which is that he found a different brisa that exempted the standing grain of a convert, which was, it wasn't sure if it was reaped before he converted or when he already had converted, which he had posed a contradiction on that different Mishnah, which said, Safik Leket. So you go stringently. So they go stringently or they go legally. And that's what Rabbi Yechanan answered. But Loshen ben Agra Nishayinayis says that, yeah, that's a Das Yachin, and therefore that we disagree with that. We don't paskin like that of Safek Lekeleket, and rather we go leniently, which is similar to the Halacha of our Mishnah, but just the second version posed it specifically on the same context of the Kama, of the standing grain of Leket, in contrast to the first version, which was asking the Halacha of Mishnah, which was regarding Matnas Kun. Now, similar Halacha of this topic, regarding the matanis, so Levi Zara B'Kishur. So Levi had planted his plantation in a place called Kishur. B'Le'ab Anim L'Mishkat Leket. Continuing on the theme of Amad Alf regarding the Matnas Anim of Leket, there were no porpers to take. There was grain that had fell, so you have to leave for the poor. There were no poor to take it. So as the Kamadir of Shesh came in front of Shesh saying, what should I do? So Amalei said to him, a pasuk in Mayikr, it says, La'anni b'lagir tazavaisam. So the leket, this individual stalks that fall, you know, I'll take it. You have to leave it for the paupers and for the comrades. Now, but v'loyla arvim, v'loyla talafim, but he tells him, but that's not for the ravens and for the bats. And since there's no poor, then you can take it. On that, Mesa, the Gemara asked him the following b'raisa. The Braisa says, Ein mevi'in truma. Yisrael doesn't have to go through the effort and to bring the truma, loy megarin le'ir, not from the granary to the city, to bring it to the kayin. Rather, the kayin, if he wants, he goes and he has to get it from there. And b'loy memid b'le'yishav, he doesn't have to bring it from the desert to the inhabited places. But says the Braisa, ve'imein sham kayin, but if let's say there is no kayin, so then seicha par mevi'as, and then the landowner has to hire a cow and bring it. Then they have the truma because the loss of the truma, he can't just leave it over there. Now, but one thing is that we see that, okay, but the Yisrael has to separate it and conceal it until he finds a kain. So then why don't you say the same thing over here, that he has to conceal it and put it away until he finds an ani, not like the way he had said that, okay, you could just take it because no paupers, so then there's no paupers. Says the Gemara, no, kashani truma to tavla. Truma is different because until you separate the truma and have it for the kain, so then it makes the rest of the grain prohibited because it's untithed. So therefore, by default, he has to go ahead and separate it. And v'loisagi du lemafreshla, it's not sufficient if he doesn't separate it. In contrast to the matnas anim, that doesn't aser, doesn't make the rest of the produce prohibited, and therefore that's different. But on that is the Gemara. But how could that be the point of differentiation? But v'hare matanis, but you have the matnas kuna, which is the topic of our mishnah, du leitavli, where if one doesn't separate the matnas kuna, it doesn't make the rest of the animal as if it's untithed. And yet, Vatanya will learn the Braisa that says as follows. First, it talks about halacha. Malkim shenagu limlug ba'agolam. If the custom of the place was that they would scald the animal with the skin on, and they would eat it with the skin, the calves that they would eat. So the halacha is, however, lo yafshed es ezraya, that you're not allowed to skin the foreleg, because that's given to the kain as it is with the skin on. Now, let's say even if it's lahafshed es ezraya, let's say their custom was that they would skin the head. Here also, you're not allowed to skin the jaw, as we're going to actually include later on, that even the wool that's on the head of the lamb, you have to give to the kayin, for sure the skin itself. So you're not allowed to skin it. You have to keep it as it is. So whether you skin it or not, either way, you have to give the kahana gifts intact. Now, the next halacha, which is the one relevant for what we're asking, is v'im ein sham kayin. Now, let's say there's no kayin to give the matnas kuna to, says the Braisa, what you do is malanoisa bedamim, you evaluate that manas kuna in monetary value, and va'ichlan, and then you put that money aside, you eat the matnas kuna, and then when you find your first kain, you give them the monetary value of the matnas kuna, memnehafsid kain, because we don't want to create a loss to the kain. So you see, even something that doesn't have the answer you just gave, where it doesn't create it into an untithed problem, which is similar to the case of the matnas aniyim, that you do have to separate it and you have to give it, which is not like the way Rav Sheshesh had told him that, okay, there's no pauper, so just, that's it, you're done, you exempted yourself. Here you see, you do have to separate it. Says the Gemara, no, shani matnas kahuna, although you're right over there, it doesn't make it into devil, but the matnas kahuna is different because the nesinik sivbe, because it says the terminology of giving, and therefore you have to give it. It's not like just leaving it, like by the matnas name taz, by something you leave it there. Okay, leave it. No one came. Fine, you're exempt. You don't have to leave it for the bats. But by matnas kuna, it says you have to give it, and if it's a coming upon him, to give it to a kain. And therefore, he is obligated, even though there's no kain. Now, says the Gemara, hash da asla hachi, now that you came to that, to answer this question, the matnas kuna, so in Trumanami, we could say a different answer for why Trum is different than that of the matnas aniyim, because there also, in the Sinik Sibbe, there also says the terminology of giving, and therefore you have to give that too, which is unlike the halacha that Rav Shesha said to Levi, which is regarding the matnas aniyim, there's no obligation of giving. Now, then the Gemara asks, but elatazav yisera, but then this that it says by the halacha of the matnas aniyim of Leket, it says an extra time. Another terminology of leaving, lamali. Why do I need it? It says once in Parshas Kedashim, it says once in Parshas Shari Chesev. Why is it two times? Which the Gemara is insinuating, isn't it coming to include even when there's no paupers that you have to put it away until you find the pauper? And that's why it's saying? So the Gemara, no, look at the Tanya, it's teaching a different halacha as we learned in the following Braisa. The Braisa says, Hamafker es karma. Someone declared his whole vineyard ownerless. But Lashachar Hishkimu Butzara, then in the morning he went and he got up and he harvested the whole vineyard. Now, what the Braisa is coming to tell us is that although really all the matnas anim that we're going to describe are exempt from a vineyard or whatever field that's hefker, and the reason for that is because by all of them it says Kitzircha, you're harvesting Karmacha, your vineyard, which says only when it's owned by someone and not when it's hefker. And so too, by all of them it says that only somebody that's a food item that's safeguarded, which exclude that of hefker. That's what the extra terminology of Tazav comes to say, by all of them, that is coming to include that even though it's hefker, but such a type of hefker where the guy the next morning goes back and claims it back and he goes starts harvesting, that then, as the Braisa says, he's going to be chayv, he's going to be obligated the peret, which is the equivalent of leked by a vineyard, which is those grapes that fall down individually, uba'ilis, which are those tiny clusters that don't have a shoulder and drooping, ubishikho, those that are forgotten, ubepeh, or that from the corner, where all of these things, like by leked and peh, it says, two times tazeb, once in Kadeshim Tiyu, once in the Parsha Shari Chesev, and because peret by kerem is the same thing as leked, like we said, oilis, it says once by Kadeshim Tiyu, and where it says v'karmach oleis oila, once in Mishnah Torah, where it says kisivtza karmach oleis oila charecha, by shikha it says one by shikha of the elon, and once it says shikha by a kerem, as the Gemara said in Kof Lamed Alf Manav, acharecha shikha. So that's what the extra tazeb comes to say, that although you were mafgrid, since you went and reclaimed it, you're going to be obligated. Yet, upatim and the maisers, but still he's going to be exempt from the maisers of that, because regarding the maiser only, actually doesn't say, actually from the maiser of the levy, doesn't say an extra tazim, it's actually from the maisers he's going to be exempt, but all these other things, that's what the tazim regarding the matnas anim, it says it is going to be obligated, but it's not saying anything regarding the obligation, therefore if there's no oni that comes, unlike truman, unlike the matnas kuna, he actually doesn't have to give it to a poor person, his obligation it has ended. Now, the Gemara brings a story that will relate back to a previous halacha we had mentioned that says, Hahush Saka de Dinri. There was a sack of full of golden coins that of dinar, which were sent from somewhere else to the Bnei Yeshiva, the Asla Bei Medrash that came to the study hall. Kadir Rabami Bezachem, and Rabami jumped first and he married and says, I got it. Says the Gemara, Behechad Abahachi, how do you do this? Like we mentioned in the previous daf, but Vokzibanasan, like we're talking about Bamatnas Kuna, it says, as we just mentioned before, that it says that you give it to the kain, which we had interpreted, which says, but he shouldn't take it by himself. It's not appropriate. So how did he go and take it by himself and grab the matnas, which is the same idea, matnas kun, matnas anim, matnas v'tamid chacham. Says, Rabami nami la'anim zachab, and you're right, he wasn't grabbing for himself. Rabami was meriting it for the paupers, and that is appropriate. Or, if you want, you could say, adam chashab shami, a distinguished individual, like someone who's appointed to be the Rosh Yeshiva, he could go ahead and jump and merit it first, because actually, it's incumbent upon all the Bnei Ayish, everyone else, to make him wealthy, even from their own money, for sure money that comes from elsewhere. Because the time, like we learned in the Braisa, it says the Pasuk in Yikra, when it talks about the Kohen Gadol, it says, V'akohen ha-gadol me'echam, the Kohen that's bigger than all his brothers, which teaches us, as the Tanakh says, Shehi Gadol Me'echav, that he should be bigger than his brothers, Benoi, with beauty, Bechachma, with wisdom, Uboishra, and with wealth. Now, Achemram, the others say, moreover, it says, Benayin Shem Einlay, and where do we know if he doesn't have money? Sheechav HaKahanim HaGadol Me'echav, said that his brothers, the Kahanim, have to make him greater, that they have to give him the money. Tamalem has the positive teaching of HaKohen HaGadol Me'echav. It can be read, as we first translated, than his brothers. It could mean from his brothers. Gadleihu Mishalachav, make him great from his brothers. They have to give him money to make him wealthy. And if they have to give him, for sure, if it's coming from somewhere else, they have to let him get it. And that's the second interpretation why Rabami was able to take it, because the Rosh Hashiva, the greater one from all of them, is supposed to be made wealthy from them, and for sure if it comes from somewhere else. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, which concludes this parak in qualifying what we were talking about all along of the Zeroy and L'chaim Akeba, what exactly are the parameters of these matnas kuna. Says the Mishnah, Ezehu Hasrei. So what is the foreleg that we've been talking about that goes to the kain from the matnas kuna? So says the Mishnah, it's min haperik shel arkuva, from the joint of the arkuva, which is known as the carpus, which is essentially like the ankle in a human. It's just a little bit higher in the way the anatomy is by an animal. But that's the joint that's sold with the head, because that's considered the bottom of the foot. It's from that joint, ad kaf shel yad, until the spoon of the hand, which is of the arm, the spoon of the arm, which is the wide bone of the shoulder, which is known as the shoulder blade. And says the Mishnah, so that's the Zeraya, which is essentially basically the whole foreleg, evahu shel nazir, that this is also the what's known as the Zeraya b'sheila, which is said by the nazir, which he has to give the cooked foreleg. That's also what's taken by the kayin. It's basically like the ankle up all the way up to the shoulder blade. Ukeneg de beregel, and the third halacha, and the equivalent is by the back leg, which is the shaykh, which is known as the thigh, which by the shlamim, you have to give a chazah and a shaykh to the kayin. There also, it's including these two bones, from the bone of the arkuva, which is again, like we said, it doesn't look like the ankle, but essentially it is, until the buka de atma, which is that joint that goes up to the shoulder, which is essentially the whole thigh, that whole the whole leg, both bones, which are the big two bones in the leg. Rabbi Yudaimi disagrees with the third halacha. He says, Shaik is actually min haperik shel arkuva. Yeah, it's from the bone of the arkuva, which in the back leg, that's called the tarsus, but it's the same thing, what we're calling the ankle. At sevich shel regel, until the joint, which is the knee joint, which is the bone, which is the joint between the femur, which is the chylus, the upper bone, and the middle bone, which is the tibia, which is again, it's basically going halfway up. It doesn't hold it goes all the way up to the top like the Tanakam. Continues the Mishnah. Ezehu lechi. What's the second of the matnas kuna? That of the jaw. Says the Mishnah. It's min haperik shalachi. It's from the joint of the jaw, which is all the way up on the side by the temples, and that's where the jaw is. And then you cut towards lower down at pika shel gageras until the opening of the trachea, which is known as the shipu koiva. We've spoken about this in previous daf when we spoke about the halachas of shchita, which is the part like it's called like the slanty hat, which that's the opening of the trachea, which is the place where the animal swallows, which that's the lower parts of the jaws, with that's where the tongue is, and that's the entire area of the joint. And then the third one is the fourth stomach, the abomasum. Those are the three matnas kuna. Now turn from the braisa hazraya. It says in the pasuk, "V'nasla kayazraya," you give to the kayin the foreleg. Now we've been mentioning foreleg, but which one? Says the Braisa, Zezra Yemin. This refers to the right foreleg. Says the Braisa, Ata'ime Zezra Yemin. Do you really say that's the right foreleg? Oyen El Israel Smal. Maybe it's the left foreleg. Tamalayma Hazraya. Says the Braisa, that's what says the foreleg. That's how you know it's the right one. Says the Gemara, my Tamuda. What's the teaching? How do you see it means the right one? Says the Gemara, Kadama Rabba, like Rabba said on Daf Tzadayav Manav, in Per Gid Anasha regarding the sciatic nerve, according to Rabbi Huda, that he says it only applies to one of the two, not to both sides. And he says, logic would say that it's the right one, because the pasuk says hayarech, the gid anasha, the sciatic nerve of the thigh, which Rava said, what's the thigh? Hamiyumenesh hayarech, the dominant, the right one of the thigh, which means the right side. Hachanami here also, when it says hazraya, the foreleg, hamiyumenesh hayarech, it's going to mean the right one of the foreleg, and that's how we know it's the right one. Now, so then the Gemara asks, so then v'halachayayim, when it says the jaws that are given to the kain, there also says a hey halachayim. So the Maya also, what's that coming to teach? There's no right and left to say it means the right one. So why is it saying the jaws? Says the Gemara, that's also coming to include something. Lehevit semesh shebereish kvasim, as we alluded to this halacha earlier, coming to include the wool on the head of the sheep, v'sar shebezikant yashim, and the hair of the beard of the male goats, which that isn't being included in the jaw that you have to give it. Even not only the skin on the jaw, which we said before, you know, the skin, but even the hair on top, even that you have to give, and that it has to stay intact when it's given to the matnas kuna. So then the Gemara asks, okay, the hakeva lamayasa. When it talks about the third matnas kuna, that of the one of the stomachs, that the keva, what's that coming to include? So it's the Gemara, lehevi chelev shagabeh keva, it's coming to include the fats that are on top of the keva, and the chalev shabatecha keva, it's also referring to the congealed milk that's inside the stomach, that those are also included in the matnas kuna of the keva. Because Damar Bishu, like Bishu has said, he says, Kahanim nogu b'ayin yafa. The Kahanim were very generous spirited that they didn't take that part of the keva from the owners. But nesnu labam, and they gave it to the owners, they let them keep the fats on the top and the milk inside. But one thing says the Gemara is time of the nogu, it's because that's how they acted. Haloi nogu didehu, but if that wasn't their custom, then it would belong to the Kayan. Obviously, you see the biblical is the Kahanim because we learned enough from the extra hay from that keva that in halacha really and biblically is included in the matnas kuna of the kain. Now, another source for our question that how do we know it's the right thought, the right foreleg? Dershei Chamuris, those who would expound the psukim that were closed and hard to interpret, Hayu Emrim, they said that how do you know that it's referring to the right foreleg? Is because it says Hazraya, that the foreleg which is given to the Kayin, why are we giving that to the Kayin? It's Keneged Hayad, it's correlating to the hand of Pinchas. Pinchas, he got what's called a Bris Kahunas Olam, the covenant of an everlasting Kahuna, and that includes the Matnas Kuna. And why did he merit it? His merit was because of the war that he had waged against those who were desecrating the Hashem. And which is the hand that fights a war? That's the right hand. The Chenorim, so too says the Pasuk in the Midbar. It says, Be'ikach remech b'yod. He took the spear in his hand, and he went and he killed Kazbi Basur, and that it was in that merit that he got the Matnas Kuna, which is these Matnas Kuna, and it's the foreleg correlating to his hand, and since it was his right hand, that's why it's the right foreleg. So too, the Chayayim, can they get Tefillah? The reason why they get the jaws, it correlates to his prayer, which is with the jaw of his mouth. So too says the Pasuk in Tehillim, it says, Be'yamid Pinchas ve'yifal. Pinchas stood and he prayed. And Keva Kamashma, the reason why they get the stomach is literally because V'cheinu Oem, so too says the Pasuk in the Midbar, it says, V'ze'isha el Kavasa, when he killed the two of them, when they committed their act of sin, he went and the spear went into the woman in her stomach, and that's why they get all those three, corollary to what the act of Pinchas had done, and that's why it's the right foreleg because of his right arm. A third interpretation, Moses says, a Tana learned it out from here. It says in Meyikra, Sheik HaYomen. The Pasuk says that the right thigh should be given as an elevation to the Kain from a carbon shlam, which is one of the two we say, the Chaza and the Sheik. Now, says the Braise, Einli Eli Sheik HaYomen. I would only know, okay, the Matnas Kuna of a Sheik from a carbon is the right one. Zroya Mukdashin, regarding the foreleg that's sanctified, meaning from an Ail Nazu, when the Nazu is, you have to give the Zroya B'Sheila, Minayin, how do you know, but there also that foreleg is the right one. Tamalem Truma, the Pasuk says over there a seemingly extra word of Truma, which comes to include that of the Ail Nazu. And Zroya Chula Minayin, how do you know that also unconsecrated foreleg from the Matnas Kahuna, which is what we're discussing, that that's also the right foreleg. Tamalem Titnu. There's also seemingly an extra word in the Pasuk over there, Titnu Truma L'Kayin. That word Titnu comes to include also the Zraya of the Matnas Kuna, and that's how we know it's the right one. Now the Mishnah had said, Ezehu Lachi, what's considered the jaw of exactly the parameters, what has to be given to the Kayin. So the Mishnah said, it's Minaperik Shel Lachi, it's from the joint of the side by the temples of the jaw, Vad Pika Shel Gageres, that goes all the way down, that's considered still part of the jaw, the top of the trachea. That is the Gemara, but Batanu learned the Braisa that says that Noitla, what you do is when you're giving the jaw to the Kain, you take it, Ubeis Shchita Ima, and the area of where the animal is slaughtered is with that. Now that sounds like that goes deeper down into the neck on an angle, because that's lower down than the top of the trachea, because the Makam Shchita has to be a little bit lower. So that seems to contradict our Mishnah. Says the Gemara that, no, truthfully, you could say like our Mishnah said, Ad Hapika, until the top of the trachea, that slanty hat. And loikash is not difficult. Why? Because our Mishnah that did not call that the Beis HaShchita, didn't call the place of where it's slaughtering, it said, till the Pika Shel Gageres, is going like the Rabbanan. But Vaha, the Brice that called it the Beis HaShchita, because they're both referring to the same place, but that's Rav Chanina ben Atignis, because he actually says that slaughtering is kosher higher than the place of where it's swallowed. He holds it could even be over there in the Pika Shel Gageres. So it's referring to the same place. But the reason why it's using different terminology is because that's their machlekes, is the makam shchita kosher there or not. As the Gemara said, the Tanya learned the Braisa, Mugremes Psulev, something is slanted towards the top of to that Pika Shel Gageres, Tanakama the Rabban says that's invalid, so therefore it doesn't call it the makam shchita. But Hey Rib Chanina ben Atignis al Mugremes Sheik Sheri says that's kosher, so therefore it's not a contradiction. Or Yibay say, if you want, you could say that actually Havaha Rabbanan, that actually our Mishnah and the Braisa is also like Rabbanan. Umayima. So what does it say that the Makam Shchit is with it? It doesn't mean it's with the jaw that's given to the Kain. Rather, Ima de Behema, it means it's with the animal. Meaning actually that stays, meaning it stays with the place of where the slaughtering is, and the jaw is taken with the Pika, Shel Gageres. So Ima, when it says Neitla, Ubeis Shchit Ima, it's Neitla, stop. That's taken by the Kain. Ubeis Shchit Ima, and the place of the slaughtering stays with the rest of the animal. And therefore, that's exactly like the Rabban in our Mishnah. Hanulach Hazroi b'l'chayim, which I will turn to the 10th parak in Satlis Chum, parak Hazroi b'l'chayim, which talks about primarily, as we said, the foreleg and the jaws and the abamasam, the three manas kahuna, which are taken from a chul animal and given to the kohen.